This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
Well, the cornflake clusters be a-crunching, but I've got no one to crunch them with. Probably a good thing, to be fair. Can't have all of those hands dipping into the same tub now, can we? Yet while the EFL show has been temporarily, we hope, called to a halt, the show here must go on. For now, it goes on remotely with my customary cohorts calling in from abodes and boats far and wide. It is the Leeds United fan show here on Love Sport, the station giving fans a voice. We've got your team covered with Churchill Business Insurance. Me, Matt Beadle, joined as ever by John McKenzie from All Stats, aren't we? Hello, John.
Hello, mate. How are you?
Very good, thank you. Great to have you on the show this evening. Remotely, of course. It's a shame not having you in the studio as always, but I'm sure we'll get through the course of the next 60 minutes or so. Josh Hobbs is joining you as well. Hello, Josh.
Hey, you all right?
Yeah, good, thank you. Thanks for coming on this evening. Gents, it has been quite the day, really, quite the week in football, from the Premier League all the way down to the bottom tier of English football and beyond. I know that, you know, the slightly lower levels are going ahead this weekend, but the EFL most definitely is not. This comes after 5 wins on the bounce for Leeds United. Clean sheets in all of those two. We're going to get onto that a bit later, of course, but right now we have to talk coronavirus, COVID-19. It is sweeping through the world of football and the implications, gents, that this might have on Leeds United's promotion push. John, first and foremost, what's your reaction to the news over the past 24 hours?
Yeah, you know, I think it's been a long time coming. I think we all expected it to happen maybe a little bit sooner. But I think now that it has happened, I think we're all a little bit happier that they've made the decision to suspend the season. Obviously, the British government is taking a specific approach to the coronavirus, which is different to the rest of Europe. But that can't include large gatherings. It seems insane to have people getting together in large groups and having the potential to share the virus. So I think all in all, it's a good move by them.
What do you make of it, Josh?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's sort of a no-brainer that it had to happen. But yeah, I have absolutely no idea what goes next. I think in terms of safety and it's sort of protecting everyone, it's the right thing to do, but we're in absolutely uncharted waters now when it comes to what's actually going to happen with how seasons end and all that kind of thing. I think it could be disastrous for football, really.
It could certainly be. We're definitely going to get into more of this, chaps. John, you did mention there about people coming together. We are aware now that we're in this social distancing phase. We did speak to Dr. Sarah Jarvis. She's the clinical director at Patient Access and was on the Kelvin McKenzie show earlier on today with Steve Hodge and Johnny Burrow. Here's what she had to say about the fact that football has been suspended.
I think it's a really interesting one, and it clearly, from your perspective, is extremely important to the millions of football fans and other sports fans in this country. What we need to bear in mind is that 30,000 people gathered in one place in the open air is almost certainly no more dangerous than, and may well be less dangerous than, 1,000 times 30 people crammed into a stuffy pub breathing and coughing on each other. And I think that's really been part of the concern that, you know, given that not all sport is available in every home and not everybody can stay home to watch it, people are going to congregate. And if they congregate in small groups in enclosed spaces, they're putting themselves at just as much at high risk. So I think the idea of doing it behind closed doors and everybody going down to the pub to watch it actually is completely wrong. The question is whether we should stop it altogether.
Dr. Sarah Jarvis there, the Clinical Director at Patient Access, speaking on the Kelvin McKenzie Show earlier on today on Love Sport. You can catch that every weekday from 10 a.m. John, the whole behind closed doors issue. Now, the overwhelming response we've had from fans, from the fan shows that we've had since this news broke, is that categorically no, we absolutely do not want behind closed doors games. Now, the Premier League is a slightly different matter. Yes, the revenue is huge, but some of those clubs won't be affected as much as lower league clubs would be. Now, you sit somewhere in between, I suppose. But in terms of the spectacle from a fan's perspective, behind closed doors games, if it was to get the season over and done and potentially see Leeds United get promoted to the Premier League, would you be in favour of it, or would you rather it was all put on hold so fans could return to the stadiums?
I think there's a couple of things that you need to really think about when you're judging this kind of question. I mean, first and foremost, we saw a couple of behind closed doors games in the Champions League this week, notably the PSG game against Borussia Dortmund. Loads of the ultras actually congregated outside of the stadium anyway, and so it seems to suggest that if you are going to have football being carried out behind closed doors, you are still going to have congregations of people. And the doctor who was just speaking then was also saying, look, you know, it's just as bad to have 1,000 pubs basically with 30 people in them coughing and spluttering all over each other. And that will happen too, I think, with games behind closed doors. And so it's one of those things where, one, you've got to sort of count the cost and you've got to assess what is going to be happening alternatively to that kind of thing happening. And two, yeah, I think there is a fan angle here that, you know, I think Henry Winter was, he tweeted this week, football without fans is nothing. And he later backed off and suggested that the reason why he said that was because he felt as though the game should be being called off completely. But I think it's true, you know, that as soon as the fan aspect of football is lost, then you lose an aspect of football that is very important. And I think just stopping the season from going ahead is a sensible thing to do, not only because of the fans, but because of the players as well. We know that players, and management, a number of clubs in the Premier League have contracted the virus, and so it's important, I think, to think about their well-being as well. So all of those things together, and the suggestion is it's best, it's just one of those things where it's better to not have it on. It seems as though the cost of actually going ahead with those games is far outweighs the cost of just not having them on and waiting until we have a much better sense of what's going on before we decide what to do.
So Josh, where do you stand on this? I know you said that it's quite scary as to what might happen now, because this is unprecedented. We've not experienced this, certainly in our lifetime, in terms of modern football, modern day football. And Leeds United, as things stand, top of the Championship, looking forward to a first return to the top flight since 2004. We've got 9 games to go. Now, that title is by no means done and dusted. Automatic promotion, still by no means done and dusted. Favourable towards Leeds and West Brom, you'd have to say, but absolutely not done and dusted. Fulham just 6 points adrift of those automatic promotion spots. So are you fearful? Because it's possible, let's not beat around the bush, that the powers that be might turn around and say, listen, we've got to stop all competition and we stop it as it is. And if that is the case, as a football fan, what's your opinion on what should happen thereafter?
Yeah, I am scared about that. I think it's unlikely. I think that they would want to exhaust other options before they get to that. But I think it is something that could happen. But I personally feel that even if it has to have a long pause, that is better. It's better to finish a season that is 75% of the way done. Like, we're not talking about one that's not, we're not talking about pre-Christmas. Like, this is, we are 75% of the way through this. It makes more sense to me to get that finished than delay the start of the next season, potentially even, like, cancel domestic cup competitions so that you can get the next league season in, and then you then start the
So are you saying, Josh, that we should absolutely finish the league season? If that means starting it at the end of July, mid August, maybe even the start of September, you want the current campaign, so those 9 games, to still be played?
I think so, because it would be crazy to get this far into it and then say, actually, none of that means anything anymore. Like, that's gone. Like, all that money that... And obviously, I'm biased towards Leeds, obviously. But let's also think about all those other teams. Like, in Coventry have got a chance to come back to the Championship. They're top of League One. You've got West Brom can go back up to the Premier League. There are teams all through the football pyramid that have spent so much money on going up. They might be on the brink of doing it, and then it's taken away from them, not because of any fault of their own. I just don't think that's fair. Liverpool have a chance for a record-breaking season, and that could be taken away from them. I can't sort of fathom that. I think it makes more sense to make decisions that affect a competition that hasn't yet started than it does to compromise a competition that's this late on.
It's difficult.
And this season we've been talking recently about the mathematical modelling, which suggests that Leeds have upwards of 98% chance of actually making it this season. It seems in that situation, and Liverpool is another club that Josh mentioned there, but Liverpool could have won the Premier League on Monday night, and it seems insane that on the basis of this important decision that I think most people agree should be taken, you're saying well, you know, that there is a ramification for this, and I think the problem is that it sets a precedent, right? As soon as you start saying if you make hard decisions, then bad things are going to have to happen to you. Then you're simply saying to clubs, well, don't trust what we're going to do. If we're going to make it so that some clubs are going to lose out unfairly, then you're actually encouraging teams to be playing in situations that probably aren't helpful or healthy. And I think that's probably an issue there too.
Yeah.
The issue though, John, and listen, I completely understand what you're saying. And at the moment, we have to remember that this is all speculation, wild speculation. We don't yet know what is going to happen. April the 3rd is the date that has been put forward. And the understanding is that most people think absolutely there's no chance that we're going to be playing football, going to be watching football again by that time. So it's more than likely that is going to be extended. But if we do finish the season, yep, I think I agree with you on that one. It was interesting because we did the Chelsea fan show earlier on before you guys, and they were like, nope, do you know what? You've got to let it go. You can't get back time. Once it stops, it stops. It's just the way that it's going to be. But if that was to be the case, John, what's your opinion then? Obviously, Leeds, like we said, top of the league at the moment. What's your opinion of going up or being crowned champions? Because Neil Lennon has spoken, hasn't he, out today as the Celtic manager and said, listen, we're past 30 games. Law of averages suggests that we'd win the title. They cannot take that away from us. But this is football. You can't give someone a title before they've actually won it.
Yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about that. I mean, again, it's unfair either way, right, on a club. If the season were to be just finished as it is now, then no doubt Fulham fans would feel annoyed at the way things have gone. If you stop the season now and say we're going to carry on next season, then Leeds fans are going to be happier. And you're just going to get into a scenario where there's going to be clubs who are going to be happy with one scenario and clubs are going to be happy with the other and disappointed and vice versa. So, it's one of those things where I think I agree with Josh in saying, you know, it's much more problematic to stop a league midway through a season than cancel one that hasn't started yet. And so much of this, I think, comes down to the fact that we just don't know what's going to happen. And you can't at this point stand there and say this is what should happen with the rest of the season until we have a sense of what's going on. We're at a point now where potentially millions of people are going to die. And I think until we know what the worst case scenario is and has happened, and we get to the other side, then only then can we fully sit down and think, right, how should we properly assess this situation? I don't think there's much point from this point of the timescale just actually saying, well, you know, what's it going to look like in April? What's it going to look like in May, June, July? What's it going to look like for all we know, we're being told that there might be another peak in Christmas. And if that happens, are you going to risk starting the season again in the summer or later on in the summer, only for it to be cancelled again or for the next season to be cancelled? And so I think there has to be some kind of perspective here which says, at the moment, this isn't that important, but we should have an open mind about what the future will look like. And we'll get to that point when we know that everyone is in the best situation from a health point of view, and then we'll start thinking about the football.
John McKenzie there from All Stats, aren't we? Josh Hobbs joining us too on this, the Leeds United Fan Show. We've got plenty more coming up.
For the fans, by the fans. Love Sport Radio.
It's the Leeds United Fan Show here on Love Sport. And me, Matt Beadle, joined as ever by John McKenzie from All Stats, aren't we? Josh Hobbs, also from All Stats, aren't we? Joins us on the line on Love Sport, the station giving fans a voice. We've got your team covered with Churchill Business Insurance, where you can take the stress out of managing your business with Churchill. Churchill's standard policy provides £1 million of public liability cover with access to our 24/7 legal helpline, not to mention a range of add-ons, including cover for your tools and business equipment, personal accident and employer's liability insurance. Visit the public liability page on churchill.com. Churchill is underwritten by UK Insurance Limited. This is the Leeds United Fan Show, where we are, of course, just talking about coronavirus. What else would we be talking about but the news and how this might impact Football League clubs as well? A statement was given today by the EFL, and they said, whilst the board has continued to take the advice and guidance offered by the government and its health advisers, emerging developments mean now this is the time to implement football's contingency plans in response to the crisis. A further update on these plans will be given post an EFL board meeting next week. They've said the decision has not been taken lightly, but the EFL must prioritise the health and well-being of players, staff, supporters, while also acknowledging the government's national efforts in tackling this outbreak. Now, gents, it is the Leeds United Fan Show, and we've covered coronavirus to an extent. No doubt we'll continue to talk about it. But Josh, as ever on the Leeds United Fan Show, we always start with an opening stat. I believe you've got something for me.
Yeah. Well, we were right in the middle of, and we still are, in the middle of our second longest winning run of the season, which is our second run of five games at least, this time without even conceding a goal. West Brom are the only other side in the league who've managed to win five games in a row. There are seven teams in the league that have won four in a row. Only Fulham are in the top six of those seven teams. I just wondered whether either of you guys would be able to hazard a guess at who the other teams would be.
Cracking. Oh, there you go, straight in.
Borough won a load at once, didn't they?
Do you say Borough?
Yeah.
Yep, that's one.
I want to say Charlton.
No, but they had a really good start to the season. I think they had an unbeaten run of four, but they didn't win four.
Swansea had a good start to the season as well.
Swansea, they're one. You got two.
How many out of
so
six?
You need to get another one, two, three.
Okay, so we're talking about...
There's another four.
So winning streaks. Just name the teams again, Josh.
So the ones you've got, Swansea and Borough, so there's another four teams that have won four.
And they're all out of the top six?
Yeah, none of them are in the top six.
Four on the bounce, yeah?
Yeah.
Huddersfield had a good run when the Cowley brothers came in.
No, they're close there. I think they had a three-game streak, but not four.
Blackburn had a good run recently.
Blackburn are one of them. You're doing well,
oh, Matt. You're not pulling your.
No, it's tough. Sorry, I was going to say Sheffield Wednesday because I know they had a good run, but I don't think they won four on the bounce. I think they won two, drew, and then won another two again. So I don't think they've done four on the bounce.
I'm afraid.
Yeah, go on.
It's not Wednesday.
Give them to us, Josh. Go on.
Yeah, give us.
Reading, QPR, Bristol City, who are just outside the top six.
There we go. I mean, what does that say then about the Championship this season? I mean, it goes to show, doesn't it? I mean, you mentioned those teams, Middlesbrough being one, of course, and Middlesbrough right down in it. Had they not beaten Charlton at the weekend, that was a massive relegation six-pointer. We saw so many of those over the past couple of weeks. But it's incredible to think that Middlesbrough on 41 points are included in that winning streak.
Yeah. I mean, for me, that's why I was very confident. That I didn't think anyone could catch us, that even if we dropped off and put in an end to the, even if we put an end to the season like last season, I still didn't think we would be caught, because we've got a 7-point gap to Fulham plus a big goal difference swing, and I just didn't, I honestly don't believe anyone can put together the type of form needed. Even though Fulham are that other team that have got had a four game win streak, they've got a ridiculous fixture list before the end of the season.
They had to play us. They had to play Brentford this weekend. They are playing West Brom as well, which would have been played into our hands, because one of those two teams is going to lose points, or if not both. And so I think there was almost no danger that we. I mean, it's easy for us to say sitting here, right? But we were so confident about doing it that. It's almost funny that the league isn't going to carry on.
Yeah, it's the most Leeds thing ever, I'm telling you.
It is quite staggering, gents. I mean, like you said, this is unprecedented. We're all sort of in a kind of state of shock at the moment, because we're in the situation whereby we know games aren't going ahead this weekend. We know they're not going ahead until April the 3rd. We don't know whether they will go ahead after then. We're facing the possibility of a season not even recommencing. I mean, it's just difficult, because we can't actually comment on exactly what's going to happen, and everything that we can comment on will be hypothetical. So on that note, I'm going to quickly refer to last weekend's game on something that did happen that is cold, hard fact that we can comment on, because it was a 2-0 win against Huddersfield. It was a fifth successive victory without conceding, which is, you know, another impressive run of form for Leeds United. Huddersfield, by the way, of course, had scored in 16 of their 17 away games this season. So you certainly stopped a team that are impressive, if not winning, but scoring away from home. They've won in their last two visits to Elland Road as well. Luke Ayling with his third in five. He'd only bagged three in 140 games before that. We saw Patrick Bamford on the score sheet, for crying out loud, 5 minutes after half-time. That was his first in eight, his 13th of the season. Think how many more he could have had, John, but what an afternoon it was.
Yeah, it was good. And the run that we've just had, as I think, I can't remember who it was who was talking about it, but the watchword was experienced players standing up and taking account. And that's what's been happening. We've seen players like Ayling come along. We've seen players like Pablo Hernandez. We've seen players like Click standing up and saying, yeah, you know, we're going to make this happen. And in the long run, you know, it's even had a positive effect on someone like Patrick Bamford, so, which is good. And yeah, you know, it felt as though that Brentford game had seen us turn a corner, and everything seemed to be going downhill nicely for us.
Josh, your interpretation of the game, it was potentially a tricky time. I mean, you look at the way Leeds are playing at the moment. Huddersfield, yeah, OK, they're a bit up and down at the moment under Danny Cowley, but we do the Huddersfield Fan Show. We've got them on at 10:30 later on this evening. Your reflection of the game itself, and it's one that I will put to the boys later on.
Yeah, I was really, really happy with the game, actually. When we heard in the lead-up to the game that Calvin Phillips was out, I was a bit nervous, because even though we beat them 2-0 away from home, I felt that they caused us problems, and that game could have easily been a draw, even though we ended up with the win. So missing Calvin Phillips, that made me nervous, but obviously great that we scored that early goal. But I still felt Huddersfield could cause problems in that first half, and then just second half, we just really eased away from them. Once we scored early second half, they didn't really lay a glove on us from that point. And I thought that's the mark of where we're at, really. That it was just like John said, players taking the lead, a really sort of professional performance where there was no real drama. It never looked like we were going to let that go from that point. And I think the players have got the bit between their teeth.
Was it very process trusting, John?
Sorry, was that?
Was it very much a process trusting victory, like we've referred to in previous fan shows?
Yeah, exactly, and that's why it felt the last few games felt so good, was because it was everything that we've been saying. You know, you have to rely on the system, and you have to know that eventually Patrick Bamford is going to start scoring again. You have to know that the team have it within themselves to create better and more chances than position, and if you keep doing that, then eventually things will turn around. And so, you know, there's a real sense in which Bielsa was proven right, I think, in the last few games, because he stuck with the system. He retained Bamford in the starting 11. He didn't just change things around and start chopping and changing and panicking basically as soon as things weren't going right. And I think, to be honest, it's really he's really shone in this situation. And again, it's nice to see, as you mentioned, from us who always say trust the process, that the process actually has worked, and you know, you can rely on these things.
Only two shots as well for Meslier to have to deal with in the game, but that's two games now, two clean sheets. I know that there were three clean sheets prior to that with Kiko Casilla, but he's come in probably at the best time of the season that maybe he could have come in, John.
Yeah, I think so, definitely. And we'd all seen him play at Arsenal. We all knew that he was going to be good. He seemed confident, seemed assured. He seemed to be good at everything, really. His shot stopping was fine. His ball distribution was brilliant, which is as to be expected in a Bielsa team. But also, I think in terms of his handling, he was good. And I think a lot of Leeds fans have forgotten what it's like to have a keeper who's not necessarily shaky when it comes to handling. And I think that, for me, is the real boost that you get from having someone like Meslier in the team. But I think he'll really be one for the future. And I think a lot of Leeds fans are hoping that he will go on to become a regular and the regular number one for us.
Yeah, certainly a good start to life for Ilya Meslier in that Leeds United goal. Kiko Casilla now two games in to that six-match ban. That is a ban that could certainly stretch for a bit longer than I imagine he expected it to. This is the Leeds United fan show. We're halfway through. We've got plenty more coming up. We're going to be talking about the long-term impact that coronavirus might have on the Football League season. We're going to be talking players' contracts, of course. How will they be affected? And we'll also touch on the possibility of losing a certain Marcelo Bielsa slightly before we thought.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
It's the Leeds United fan show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, with the guys from All Stats, aren't we? John McKenzie and Josh Hobbs. A quick reminder that from the 31st of March, Love Sport's national station will be the only way of listening to Love Sport on DAB radio across the UK. If you're listening to us on Love Sport London, you need to retune your radio. It's an easy process. Just press the auto tune refresh or auto scan button on your digital radio, or go into the menu and press auto tune to make sure you do not miss your favourite shows right here on Love Sport. We're talking coronavirus, as you might expect. We're going to get back on to Leeds and the implications that this has for the club. But first, we're going to quickly hear from a London Mayor candidate, Rory Stewart. Now, it is important, by the way, to stress that elections have been postponed for a year due to the outbreak of coronavirus. So he said this before he actually knew this news. But he did say earlier on that he would take rather dramatic steps if he was to be elected.
I'd be putting London effectively on the beginnings of a war footing. I would have big operations rooms running. I'd be running big contingency plans for the worst case scenario. I'd be briefing people every morning, but most importantly, I'd be pushing to have as much shutdown as we could. We should be shutting all gatherings. The mayor should not be gathering hundreds of people in a room for question time in the way that he did. We should have announced immediately St. Patrick's Day was being cancelled, and we'd be pushing the government to shut the schools down. Now, these things have huge impact, but I think compared to the impact of this disease, we've got to see that in the end, very disruptive though they are, and it will make a lot of parents very, very angry to have schools shut, it's better than what will happen if we get our NHS hit with a tidal wave of cases.
That was Rory Stewart there, London mayoral candidate. He was speaking on the Kelvin McKenzie show earlier on today here on Love Sport. You can catch that every weekday from 10 a.m. This also comes, by the way, prior to news that's just broken over the course of the past hour that Donald Trump has declared a national emergency in the U.S. He said the action I'm taking will open up £50 billion. This is going to bring probably 1.4 million tests next week and 5 million in a month. He's also said that he is most likely to be tested for COVID-19, despite saying that he does not have symptoms. John, I know that this isn't a political show, but just your thoughts on that. Again, as a very intelligent bloke that you are as well, I know we're going to get back onto football, but the suggestion that maybe we've been a bit slow on the uptake here. Would you agree with that?
I think I should. I'm going to start this by saying I'm not a medical person. I'm not a forecaster. I am not a politician. So take all of this with a pinch of salt. But it seems that the British government have decided that the best way of dealing with this issue is by approaching it as a forecasting problem. And what they've decided is that the way that most other countries have gone about treating the situation, which is having strenuous blockades, stopping everyone from going out, making sure people are only leaving their houses if they absolutely need to. The assumption is that if you do that, then you're not dealing with the virus, you're just prolonging the experience before it's going to hit again. Now, I think that that's all well and good for them to do that, but I think all of us know that in the long run there is going to be some kind of vaccine developed. There's a realization that, yes, these draconian measures, as they're called, are disruptive, but in the long run, you're wanting to stave off the worst case scenarios for as long as possible so that those vaccines can turn up. Now, at the same time, there is that issue about making sure that your health service isn't pushed beyond its means, which is what we're seeing in Italy, which is why the mortality rate is much higher in Italy, because there's just not the provision for people. And so it feels as though the British government is sort of treading a really dangerous line, because if it works, then it will probably be lauded, but we won't see that much of an impact really. And if it doesn't work, then it's going to be fatal. So it's very hard to know what to do, of course, and there's always going to be, I'm sure there's going to be good arguments from both sides, but for me, I would err on the side of caution. I don't see what the negative aspect of taking a draconian line is going to be.
Josh, if it does come to pass that April the 3rd is when everybody returns to football and we all rock back up to our stadiums, and listen, we are a bit like sheep sometimes, football fans. We just go with the flow and we go and watch the football because that's what we know and love on a Saturday afternoon, on a Friday evening, on a Sunday afternoon, Monday evening, whatever it may be. Say you walk into that stadium for the first time at Elland Road, or you go away from home and you walk into the stadium. Are you going to be slightly concerned about who you're standing next to, about who else might be in the stadium, about who else you might brush shoulders with on your way into the stadium? Or is that just taking things a bit too far in this whole... none of it is scaremongering, but there is certainly a feeling that, you know, and it's been a joke already. I think Diego Costa, as he walked out of the ground on Wednesday afternoon between Atletico Madrid and Liverpool at Anfield, he coughed on reporters and made a bit of a laugh and a joke about it. But it is a serious issue. But when you go back to the ground, are you going to be slightly concerned?
I think, like, I was on the... I don't live in London, but I was in London yesterday on the tube, and I just went about life normally, how I would be on the tube. Maybe I was a little bit more aware of things that I was touching, trying not to touch surfaces unnecessarily, and being a lot more vigilant with hygiene and washing of hands and stuff. I think that's what I'd be doing if I was in a football stadium. I think maybe one of the things that could, the good thing that come from all this is just that maybe people are going to be a bit more aware of hygiene in public spaces going forwards. Not that there's going to be a lot of good things going to come from this.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you, mate. And I tell you what, part of the reason I love this Leeds United fan show is because we've now got Joe, a caller, on the line. He doesn't want to talk about coronavirus. He doesn't want to talk about the implications of anything like that. Oh, no, we are talking stats. He wants to speak to John about expected goals. Hello, Joe.
Guys, you all right?
Yeah, great to have you on the line. What do you want to put to John?
Right, well, I'm self-isolating at the minute from coronavirus, so I'm sick of hearing about it, so I thought that's something different. About expected goals, I follow you on Twitter, and I'm a Leeds fan, have been all my life. I was wondering about expected goals, because every time I see your figures and I compare it to the game, it's never right. I just wonder how it's calculated and how you're getting to that.
Yeah, I can talk you through that. So when we put out figures, we're usually getting them from Infogoal, which is a company online who use Opta data. So basically what Opta do is they've developed a model using all of this data that they get from whenever anyone's taken a shot in pretty much the top five leagues in Europe, right, and other leagues beside. And they just look at, they put various variables in there. So they'll maybe look at where the goalkeeper is, they'll maybe look where defenders are. They'll look at the positioning of the shot, most importantly. They'll see whether or not it was a shot from a header or a shot from a cross or a shot from the floor or a shot from a set piece, etc. And they'll put all of those numbers and bits of data together in this model, and it will push out a number which basically is the percentage chance of it being scored. So if you're asking where those numbers come from, it's from all of that data there. There's thousands and thousands and thousands of data points that it's all grown right up.
There's no pigeon just picking it at random then, because sometimes it feels like it's out of the ether.
Do you have any examples that you think were of games
Van
where you think that they were marvelous?
QPR.
Okay. Do you want to talk us through that?
So sorry, Joe. Have you got an example of XG that you'd like to give to John?
Yes, Bamford's chance against QPR.
And talk us through that chance so that the listeners know.
So
what
you said it was massively out. Your model was massively out, and you had to revise it.
Yeah. So what happened there was we used a figure that came out of Opta data. Now Opta don't look at the position of the goalkeeper, and so there was other models that looked at that chance and gave it a much higher probability of going in. So StatsBomb are another company who developed a model, and they do look at where the goalkeeper is positioned, and what they decided was that there was actually more like a 27% chance that he should have scored that. We only have access to the Opta data immediately, so we had to wait for that other model to give us a figure. So that's the explanation of that discrepancy.
So if it's that solid and you're happy with that, why don't we decide the season on that? Model the rest of the season on the XG and Leeds go up and it's fine. Bamford should be on minus, so I don't know how you get to that.
Yeah. If you look at the XG tables, Leeds are very good. They should be top, like you say. But look, for XG, we use XG because it's just a really good frame over an aggregate of chances of what's going on in the team. So we look at XG because it gives a good indication of whether or not Leeds are being a bit lucky or whether or not they're being a bit unlucky. But obviously, goals are the most important things. And fortunately for us, in the last few weeks, Leeds have started matching their expected goals ratios a little bit more. So hopefully the people will see that and maybe take the data a little bit more seriously.
That's good. I think I should stick with goals instead of XG. I think that's my.
I think so too, mate. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I love a goal.
Joe, is that clear things up for you?
No, not really, but I think I'll have to take it.
Mate, thank you very much for calling. Top stuff there, Joe. And you know what? This is part and parcel of what we are really trying to do here on Love Sport. I know that we are covering coronavirus and it simply has to be talked about. But Joe, they're a prime example of someone who's self-isolating at home, fed up of talking about it. If we can help to take your minds off it, even if that means delving into the intricacies of XG, that is what we'll do. We love that, John.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Top stuff. Okay, this is the Leeds United fan show. We've got plenty more coming up. Like I said, we're going to be talking contracts and a bit more about what might happen to Leeds United this season.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
Leeds United fan show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, with the boys from All Stats, aren't we? Josh Hobbs and John McKenzie. Now, gents, we did say we were going to talk players, we were going to talk contracts, we were going to talk Marcelo Bielsa. Now, it's not a huge issue for Leeds, like it is for some other clubs, of course, who have players coming out of contract at the end of the season, Josh. But it is still an issue because there are a few players, some loan players as well, of course, who have come to the club with an obligation to buy, but come June 30th, I think it is, those contracts are going to be finished. So they are then at liberty to speak to other clubs. And depending on what happens, and this is where it really does start to get ever so murky, because do we have the season starting again? Can we have teams coming in for those players and actually signing those players, and those players then helping other teams with a promotion push? We just don't know. But your take on the contracts and those players that are out of contract at the end of the season?
Yeah, I think as far as I'm aware, contracts end at that point because that's the official end of the season, and that's the mandatory end of contracts. Like, you don't have players that run out of contract in the middle of the season. So I would have thought that they would have to create some kind of unilateral rule that contracts will just go on sort of month by month until the end of the season. How that works in terms of clubs that are stretched for cash being able to afford the wages for longer, or FFP limits being crossed, that kind of thing, I'm not sure. I think they would probably have to make some sort of they'd have to make an exception for FFP on these kinds of things, and I guess the clubs lower down the Football League pyramid. I read earlier the owner of Peterborough talking about clubs in League One and League Two possibly needing loans from the Premier League to help with cash flow. And I guess the other issue would be, like, for Leeds's case and all across the Football League, would be players that are on loan. You presume that would just go on until whenever the season ends. And that, again, that would have to be a rule that was applied to everyone. That's the only way I can realistically think that they can sort it out. I can't imagine Leeds going to the end of the season and Ben White not being allowed to play anymore.
Well, this is part of the issue, isn't it, John, that Ben White is one of those key players at Leeds United this season. Jean-Kevin Augustin, of course, another player who has signed a deal with an obligation to buy pending certain conditions at the end of the campaign. I doubt very much that anybody thought one of those conditions would be an outbreak of a fatal disease throughout the country. So this is another one that, you know, it is really difficult to judge right now. And another name that we have to throw into the mix is Marcelo Bielsa, John.
Yeah, and I think most people were aware of the fact that Bielsa was probably only going to stay if Leeds got promoted. If we go back next season, perhaps, and Marcelo Bielsa doesn't have the chance of managing in the Premier League, then are we expecting Marcelo Bielsa to not extend his contract further? And does this mean that we've seen the last match that Marcelo Bielsa could be manager of Leeds United?
Which is quite a worrying thought, is it not?
Yeah, no, most definitely, especially given the scenario in which the season has ended, which is that Leeds were actually finally looking like they might do it, and suddenly that's all turned around. And it's a real shame, because it's a real testament, obviously, to what it was that he created here. He had two seasons here, one of which Leeds probably should have been promoted, and the other of which looked like they were. And it just sort of bookends a career for Marcelo Bielsa that has always sort of ended in disappointment and failure. And what more fitting way for this season to end than with us never really perhaps knowing whether or not Leeds would have done it.
Does this then, John, and this is an argument again that was on the Chelsea fans show earlier on today, I'm sure that Liverpool fans are thinking it right now, if the season was to end, and Liverpool might, yes, feel an absolute sense of injustice that they wouldn't get that Premier League trophy, but it might give them some added impetus moving into next season. I don't know, perhaps that's what they had this season after losing out to City last season. For Leeds, what would the impact be if the season was to end? How would this filter throughout the club? Because, listen, we said it, didn't we? 2004, the last time that Leeds were in the top flight. Would this be like, right, we have definitely got to go all out next season? Or would it be a case of, for crying out loud, we're going to do whatever we can to appeal, to do whatever it takes to prove that this season is when we should have gone up?
Yeah, and I'm sure the owners will be appealing everything that they can, and no doubt bringing legal action against the league, whatever happens. Because the ownership, and we talked about this before, has had a very specific plan, which was rather than spending big on players, you spend big on your manager and hope that he has a cumulative effect on all of the players, and seemingly that has worked. Now, we weren't entirely sure whether or not Radrizzani's plan was to get Leeds into the Premier League and then for them to become a bit of a cash cow for him, or whether or not he wanted to get Leeds into the Premier League so that he could charge as much money as he wanted to QSI or someone like that in a Middle East money state. We don't know, but either way, I think it changes the way that he might look at the club now. If Marcelo Bielsa goes and he can't get another manager in, it may be the case that he'll try and sell it off anyway, cut his losses. So it's likely, I think, that whatever happens by the time the next season starts, it may be a completely different looking Leeds United. It might be a completely different owner, might have completely different players under contract, and it might have a completely different manager. So, yeah, it's very, very hard to know at this point what will or won't happen.
And Josh, moving it back to football, of course, and speaking of Marcelo Bielsa, speaking of managers, manager of the month for February in the Championship, Slaven Bilic. Bit of an odd one, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you don't give it to the manager of the team that haven't conceded a goal for the entire month.
It just seems bizarre, doesn't it? I mean, it's always one of those difficult ones because I think Jurgen Klopp could have been given it every month this season. I think he's actually only been given it 2 months that he hasn't received it, this season. But you look at Paul Cook as well of Wigan. Incredible campaign, incredible month for him as well, lifting them out of the relegation zone. But like you say, not conceding a single goal and winning all your games just seems complete madness.
Yeah, and West Brom lost a game and drew a game in a very boring, insipid performance. So I no idea how they decided that one, but... You know, Bielsa doesn't care about things like that.
No, he certainly doesn't. And as fans, listen, I know that it's kind of a bit of fun, but really, player of the month, manager of the month now, they tend to just go over your head, really. It doesn't really have the impact that it used to have, does it? John, we're nearing the end of the show. I just kind of want to get your final thoughts, really, on everything that's occurred over the course of the past 24 hours or so, and a reflection on Leeds' season so far, because, like I said, we don't know what's going to happen at the moment. We're kind of in limbo, but... If the season, God forbid, was to suddenly end on April the 3rd and they say, listen, we can't carry on, how would you review Leeds' season, not taking into account whether you go up, whether you stay into the Championship? How would you review the season so far?
It's a funny thing, isn't it, football? Because I think in football, you're always looking forward to the next thing and you almost can't ever enjoy what you have when you have it because... You're always thinking, well, you know, we get promoted next season, but then as soon as you do that, you're thinking, right, where are we going to finish in the league next season? Who are we going to bring in? How are we going to survive in the Premier League, etc.? And so in some senses, and perhaps some weird senses, it's almost quite nice to have this hiatus right now because it's nice to look back on what's happened this season. It's nice to look back and think, you know what, if Bielsa does go and he was on the cusp of getting Leeds promoted, it doesn't devalue the football that we were able to watch. It doesn't devalue the football we were able to enjoy during his time here. And yeah, of course, we all want Leeds to be in the Premier League. We all want to enjoy life playing football against the sorts of teams that you want your football team to be playing against. But at the same time, you know, the football is as much about what happens on the field. It is about those experiences, those emotions that you have when you're sat watching the game. And I don't think any manager at Leeds United, perhaps bar Don Revy, has ever caused the fans so much enjoyment as Marcelo Bielsa has. And so I think, you know, as I said before, no one likes the circumstances, but it is a really good situation in which to sit back and think, you know what, we have one of the best managers in the world managing our team. They played really attractive football. It was hard sometimes, and sometimes it was frustrating, but some of the times the football that was being played was absolutely mind-blowing.
Would you agree with that, Josh?
Yeah, I mean, I feel that we were on the edge of this team achieving something special, and the edge of being remembered as Leeds legends. So if this is how it all ends, it will be tainted with disappointment, but it will have been a season where we proved ourselves to be the best team. Like the records will show that when it stopped, if this is it, it stopped with us top of the league, and we fully deserve to be there.
Yeah,
we were brilliant. We've been brilliant the whole season. We had a bad spell, but the character that we've shown to come back from that bad spell was almost more impressive than the first good run that we had.
Time will tell, won't it, Josh and John? Thank you very much for joining me this evening on the Leeds United Fan Show. Not in the studio this week, of course. It's been a tricky couple of days here at Love Sport, of course, having to self-isolate ourselves, making sure our fans are in safe enclosures, of course. We'll be back next Friday for the Leeds United Fan Show. Perhaps there will be slightly more update on the situation with coronavirus as things stand. No Football League fixtures will be played until April the 3rd. Leeds, of course, due to be back in action on that very date away at Blackburn. Will it go ahead? Will it not? We'll find out potentially then, maybe even a bit before. Leeds United Fan Show will return 8 p.m. next Friday. We'll see you then.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.